But I want to be ready for what God wants. Like Paul says, I want to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I want to talk to you this morning about what are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? The title of this sermon, if you're taking notes, is Preparation 2024. Preparation 2024. Usually I try to come up with some clever title, but that is just direct, and I think it should be. What are you preparing for this year? Here's a quote by A.W. Tozer. It says, "You are as close to God as you want to be." You are as close to God as you want to be. If you're like me, that is a pretty sobering thought. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And church, when I think about it, it's actually that simple. If I draw near to God, he will draw near to me. And right now, you are as close to God as you actually want to be, good or bad. The same goes for me. And at the end of that verse in chapter 4, verse 8 of James, it talks about a thing called being double-minded. And that just means that it's a condition where I'm trying to love God and I'm trying to love other things. And I can't think of a better way to describe the struggle we have as people to love God and not love everything else either above or as much. Because if you're here today like me, you probably want to live for and love God. Does anyone want to do that? Amen. You want to live for and love God with your whole life, and being here is a great step. This church is a church that loves the Lord, has wonderful people in it, like yourself, and we want to affect this community. But being at a church, even regularly, even if you serve in an area like we're all supposed to do, isn't enough. It isn't enough. Because watch this. We can all draw near to God, as near as we want to be. We can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit being used to change our entire valley and give God the glory for it. We could see people healed and delivered, free, truly changed, see every church in this valley full and being discipled. But I believe, according to this scripture that we just read, the only thing holding us back from that, the only thing holding us back from experiencing God's presence in a way that we would long for, is that we might not actually want it. We might not actually want it. And not that we don't want it, because I could ask anybody here, I'm sure, and they would say, I want it. But other things can get in the way. What do we love? Things that we don't even realize and we prioritize over the Lord. Church, what are we preparing for in this new year? For ourselves, for our families. Our main scripture today will be in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And you're welcome to turn there to make sure that I'm not lying to you. I used to tell everybody when I was doing young adults, like, please make sure that I am telling you the truth. But 1 Chronicles 22, and we're going to look at a man named David in just a moment. But before that, I want to take a moment and give you a little bit of backstory, because we want to see what David is coming out of. In chapter 21, David has made a mistake. Has anyone here made a mistake before? Okay, half of you. The other half, man, I am glad you are at our church. But David had made a mistake. He had maybe a bad year, you might say, but just like some of us, he had a bad month, or decision or a season? Has anyone had ever a bad year, bad month, bad decision, whatever it is? But watch this. It can all change. It can all change. If you didn't hear anything else this morning, it can all change. If I had an organist, he'd be just going at it right now behind me. It can all change. David had disobeyed the Lord, and in doing so, he hurt his entire country. So his decisions hurt the people around him. Have you ever been there? His decisions hurt the people around him. But David learned something when he wanted to get right with the Lord. He learned that when someone offered him something for free that was supposed to, he was supposed to give to the Lord. Watch this, what he says. David responds in verse 21, or verse 24 of chapter 21. He says, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing." You see, David knew that your heart has to be involved. When your heart is involved, get this, it's going to cost you something. When your heart is involved, it's going to cost you something. Church, drawing near to God will cost you. Drawing near to God will cost you. It'll cost you maybe your time, your feelings or emotions, your finances, relationships, maybe jobs or stability. It requires faith and trust. But church, what are you preparing for? We have to decide that question. What are we preparing for, and what is in our heart? That's the first question I want to pose to us this morning. What is in your heart? What do you really want? What do you really want in your own life? What do you want for your family? What sort of Christian do you want to be? I want you to take a moment and just ponder that. What comes to mind? What do you really want most? What are you chasing after? What is your New Year's resolution? Does it involve the Lord? Is he first? Maybe the Holy Spirit is working on you right now and you want to say, yes, the Lord, that's what I want first. Then I want you to ask yourself, do I want the Lord more than anything? Do I want him more than anything else? More than a better job, more than more money or toys, weekends off, vacations, places to live, the way I look, what people think of me, what people think of the people around me, comfort, stability, anything and everything. These things, for the most part, aren't bad. But if they're before the Lord, they're not in the right place. Church, the hardest part of that question for me is that I can tell you what I think I want. Or at least I can tell you what I want you to hear. But I can only measure it by what I've done this far. Because watch this. Where you are right now is where you prepared to be last year. Where you are right now is where you prepared to be last year. That's why, as a church, I want us to prepare for the presence of the Lord. I want us to prepare for this place being filled because God is drawing people. And I want us to be prepared to be used to see that happen. It's one thing to just be a part, but church, I want to be used. I want to be used. Do you? Do you want to be used? The heart of David, as many of us know, is a heart after God. God describes him that way. And that's a desire of mine. Does anyone else want to have a heart after God? Yeah. Amen. Yes. So then, are we willing to ask ourselves those questions? Let's look for a moment in verse 7 of chapter 22, where David is speaking to his son Solomon, who would later take the kingdom over, and he says this, "My son, I had intended to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. I had intended to build a house to the name of the Lord my God." It is in the heart of David to house the presence of God. to house the presence of God, which means it is in also the heart of God that we house his presence. Let's pick up in verses 7 through 11, because this gives us an example of what type of person God wants to host his presence. Do you want to hear that this morning? Verse 7, "And David said to Solomon, 'My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you." And this gives greater meaning to another scripture. I'm going to read just briefly Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6, where it says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek your face." You see, David was told what kind of man could build and host the presence of the Lord, build a house for the Lord, one that had clean hands and a pure heart. So you see, David had the heart, but Jesus had not come yet, so he was not pure. He had blood on his own hands. But his son Solomon was able to build a house. He was able to build it. His hands were clean, he was pure in heart, and he was at rest. And being at rest means peace. When we are at peace in the Lord, when we rest in his presence is welcomed in. His presence is welcomed in because watch this. Church, what are we so striving so hard for that we forget to go after God? What are we striving so hard for? Or what are we placing before or equal to spending time in his presence with a pure heart? Or what is so important that we can't trust that we can rest in the Lord? What is so important? These are questions that I have to ask myself because I want to be prepared for this next year. I want to lead my family and all those around me well. What are my motives? Are they clean before the Lord? The first key to hosting the presence of God is to prepare our hearts. Preparation is the key to success. You probably saw that on a cat poster somewhere. Preparation is the key to success because that's true. This means allowing the Holy Spirit to show us what we can change. And then, watch this, choosing to change. Choosing to change because watch this. Preparing for the Lord starts with repentance. It starts with repentance in whatever level that might be. But it's all simply just not putting the Lord first. We have to prepare our hearts. And in preparing our hearts, we have to start actually preparing. That's the second thing. Am I actually preparing and not just talking? Am I actually preparing and not just saying that I want to? And don't worry, we're not having credentialing ceremonies after this service. You don't have to be a pastor. But let's choose to prepare for what God wants, right? Let's choose that in every way that we can to make ready for him to use us. I love what a professor of mine once said. He said, "The Lord's not going to use what's not there." Might have heard something like that from your mom. But he's going to use the scripture that you're poring over daily. And he's going to use it to speak to the person he leads you to. And he's going to use that you hear his voice and you know his voice because you listen to him daily. And he's going to use that soft heart that has been stepping out bit by bit in faith to maybe see a miracle happen. He's going to use you. But the commonality of all those things is time with the Lord. Church, that is the one thing that will change everything. It will change everything. You have as much of the Lord as you want to right now. Do you want him more? We were just singing a song that we haven't sung in a long time and said, I want more. I want that to be my heart. I want that to be this church's heart. You are this church. I am not. The pastor is not. Let's go after it with everything that we have. And he's going to use that. In verse 14, David puts it like this. With great pains, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. With great pains. And I want you all to remember that first remark about dieting and exercise. And this is why. I know from experience that when you first start exercising, the pain is not good. Can I get an amen from anyone here? The pain is not good. It's not fun, and you don't want to keep going. But when you make that a habit, you begin to enjoy the pain because you know the results. And so watch this. The pain of David isn't a despised, horrible pain. It's a moment of gratitude, joy, an example of, with great pain, I'm preparing for the Lord because I know the result. I know the result. And watch this. If I still hate working out, it's because I haven't done it enough. If we still struggle to find time for the Lord, it's because we just haven't done it enough. Let's look at David a little bit more in verses 3 through 5 of chapter 22. It said, David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors, of the gates, and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. I'm going to see a few things there. First off, Solomon was young and inexperienced. It doesn't matter what age you are. Get with a person that's experienced, a mature Christian, and go after the Lord. But David gave more than could be counted or weighed, one translation says. A heart that is just going after God gives liberally. Out of joy that looks like pain. David's heart was to make the Lord and everything that represented him magnificent, exceedingly magnificent. A heart that prepares for the Lord wants to do so to the absolute best of their ability. Church, that's why I want, when I want to worship to the absolute best of my ability. I remember as a young Christian, just being very zealous, and I would just raise my hands so long that they would sometimes go numb. And in the back of my mind, or even speaking to the Lord in my mind, I'm saying, God, I'm doing this for you, and it's hurting me. I'm going to keep doing it. Even when all the other people put their hands down, I'm just going to keep doing it. And you might call that foolish as a young Christian, but you know what? I think God's pleased with those thoughts. When we're excited to come and build a place for the Lord, to dwell there, Does that excite you? Do you want that? David, like we said, had a heart for the Lord to make it everything magnificent. And watch this. David took a lot of time out of his schedule. He was a king to prepare for the Lord. He was very busy. He had a kingdom to run. He had kids to raise. And if you read the scripture, he had more wives than he should have had. So you know his to-do list was long. And so I say that to let you know that there is never a too busy of a moment. And I've been guilty of that. I've got lots of things to do. But do I want to serve the Lord at all times? Do I want rejoicing to be on my lips at all times, like Psalm says? That's the heart of David. Church, what are we preparing for? When we read the scripture, do we just read it and think, that was really good, I can get through next Sunday or get through another day? Or do we read it and say, I want that in my life? I want to do everything that God has for me to do. And I want to do it in an exceedingly magnificent way. Because like that scripture said, that all countries would know. That basically just means everyone that you have influence on would know. I'll give you a short testimony of that. I worked as a valet at a hotel when I was younger. Drove some really cool cars. But there was this Islamic guy that worked with me. And he would see me, I would purposely bring my Bible for the off time I could read it. And by the time I quit working there, he came up to me and said, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. You don't cheat or take anything that was not yours. You give even when you lose money from it. And he asked to go to church with me. What are you preparing for? I did not know at that time, but I had prepared for over a year for that moment. And I had prepared just because I loved the Word of God. Just because I wanted to spend time with the Lord. I wasn't doing anything else. I'm not a special person whatsoever. But God will use every single person who draws near to Him. He will use us all. And I don't want to miss that chance. David prepared. And sometimes preparing also means cutting off things that work against us. I'm being open with you right now. There's some things I want to cut out. Too busy or whatever it is. It might be watching too many shows on TV, too much time online, too much playtime. Maybe you read too much. Maybe you want to spend family time so much that you just forget about the Lord. Even good things can get in the way of what is best. We have to prepare to seek the Lord and to host His presence. In this new year, is that what we want? I remember a time in my own life of seeing the adults in my life, because I was young at this time, and hearing stories from generations past where people sought after the Lord more than sleep, more than food. In church, I have small kids. Sometimes I just want some sleep. And I have to make those choices. And I don't always choose fully right. Like, I could read a little bit more of the Bible, or I could get an extra 30 minutes of sleep for a total of 30 minutes of sleep. How much do I love the Lord? If you haven't noticed, when you get to know me, I like reading scripture and commentaries of things that people that just, I don't want to say make me feel bad, but make me feel convicted. That's just my mindset. But I like those things, so I hope you don't mind me sharing those with you. Because I want us as a church . You know, one of the stories I opened up with was that someone has been praying about revival in this valley, and they can't get away from our church being involved. But I'll tell you this. It won't for sure be that way because it's conditional. It's conditional. And that condition does not depend on a pastor, a worship leader, some great-looking people like yourselves. It just depends on you as the church wanting the Lord. If you could sum up my message in that statement, that would be it. It just depends on you. Revival depends on you. All the pressure. But you know what? I say bring it on. Let's dive into the Lord and see what He wants to do through us. Let's see what He wants to do. David was so passionate, so zealous. I think sometimes that the true mark of a zealous person is if it catches fire from those around him or the next generation. David was passionate enough, watch this, that he wanted the Lord's presence to remain longer than he would live. Church, think about that. He wanted God's presence to be just so invested in that place that when he died, it would carry forth. Do you want that? That's what I want. That is what I want. That's what we as a church want. The word says a righteous man leaves blessings for his children's children. What better legacy and blessing than the presence of the Lord in your children, in the next generation? If you don't have kids, then in the ones that you are affecting. What better legacy than that? That's what David longed for. That's what he was preparing for. So he was just throwing everything he had at it. Without weight or measure, I want to prepare. Just like my friend who was leading his family well, it starts right there. Are you going to lead your family well? Church, this year can be whatever you want it to be. But in the same way you are right now, where you prepared to be last year, let's prepare, maybe for revival. Let's prepare for God to move in this place. I know Wasilla is hopping and bopping. People are moving here right and left. But I see churches that are not full, including ours. Let's get out. Let's get people saved. We don't want to see this church building full of people that came from another church. We want to see this building full of people that are just getting saved. Maybe someone that was walking down the street and they get saved because you were listening to the Lord and you had an intervention right there. Maybe they were just all hopped up on drugs or whatever it is, and in a moment, they were freed from that addiction because of the power on your life of the Holy Spirit. Church, who do you want to be? I know some of that is scary when you think about it. Do I want to go and talk to this person? Do I want to do this or that? But when you spend enough time with the Lord, His presence goes before you, is around you. And nothing can stop you because nothing can stop the Lord. So let's be that church. David prepares everything for the next generation and gives them every opportunity. And not just his son, but all the people who would work with his son. How does he do that? That's the third question of today. How do I prepare? How do I prepare? And what am I preparing for? In verse 12, it says, "Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper. Then you will prosper. If you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel." David's first desire for those following him would be that they would be filled with the wisdom to obey the Lord. The most important thing, I mentioned it while ago, that even this is conditional. When it says, then you will prosper, we have to make sure those around us know that the promises that we're reading are conditional. We have to follow and serve the Lord in order to host his presence. Church, I don't know where you are salvation-wise. I have no idea. But don't do things in a minimal way. I think it's key here that David said, exceedingly magnificent. Press into the Lord and see what he wants to do through you. He has plans for you. I want to encourage you in that way. You might not have any idea what God wants to do in you, but I guarantee you, I promise you, that it is better than anything that you can imagine. It is worth it. It is worth it. In verse 13, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1 million talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure. For it is so abundant, I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them." I want to key in on that phrase, "you may add to them." Church, that should be our heart. A heart that says, this is my passion. You can see it. Add to it. Add to it. Wouldn't it be great if we just had to keep the doors open? Because even after some of us went home, more people came in and they just didn't want to stop worshiping. And as we read the word of God, people's hearts are transformed. Church, is the word and is worship, is the Lord your passion? Is your zeal to know him more, to serve him more? Verse 15, it says, "Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stonecutters and all types of skillful men for every kind of work, of gold and silver and bronze and iron. There is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you." That key phrase there, arise and begin working. This is where I want to land this morning. In verse 19, it says, "Now set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord." Church, it's the beginning of a new year. Thoughts, hopes, and dreams come with it. And as I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, I want to ask you the same thing David did. Will you set your heart and soul to seek after the Lord this year? Think of it that this moment, we're stepping into the new year today, tonight. What do you want? What are you preparing for? We're not building a physical temple like David. But church, we are the temple of the Lord. The ark here is mentioned, and it symbolizes God's presence. David wanted it at the center of his own life, the center of his family's life, the center of his nation. The only way to do that is to become so passionate and zealous that it catches on to people. If we want to save our city, if we want to save our nation, the only answer is to host the presence on a daily basis. Church, if you want to be a true patriot, press into the Lord. It's more important than anything else you can do, your relationship with God. That is if you want to see this nation saved, press into God. If you want to see this valley saved, press into God. If you want to see your family that does not know Christ or needs to become passionate, press into God. If you want to see your life changed, radically changed, press into God. It's like the Sunday school answer. Jesus is the actual answer. Press into God and do it in a magnificent way. Will you rise and build to host the presence with me in this church today? As you're pondering this, I want you to take a moment. I want you to pray about what the Lord is speaking to you specifically. We're almost done, so just a couple more minutes. You might need to wash your hands of some things that you've been doing. You might need to cut off some things out of your life. You might need to make a commitment here and now that you want to affect your family and lead them well. You want to see this valley saved. You want to plan well so that this time next year, you can say in full confidence, I planned well. I prepared to seek the Lord and host His presence. As the prayer team comes, some in the front and around the back, if that's you and you realize that maybe you need to make some changes, and there's no shame in that. There's actually shame in needing to and not doing it. But I want to invite you to commit to the Lord this next year, that it would belong to Him. Maybe commit to your family, leading them well. And if you're struggling to make a year commitment, think about just starting off right. Just do the next right thing. Pray about just for the next 3 weeks even, or even just 1 week if you can't do 3 weeks, to read the Word every day, to pray every day for Wasilla and this valley, that you would have a heart for these people, to see them saved, to see them discipled, to see not just this church filled, but every Bible-believing preaching church in this valley radically changed and full. That's who we want to be as a church. I'm going to welcome you to stand if you're able to this morning. And for those of you who just want to take a moment, then take that right now and begin to commit to the Lord. For those of you who have any need, if you don't know this Jesus we're talking about, then come and meet Him. Offer and surrender your life to Him. If you need to recommit, come and do that. If you need healing, we believe in healing. We don't just talk about it. Whatever your need is, there's lots of people that want to pray with you, for you. So we're going to go back into just a little bit of worship. And while we do that, feel free to come down, commit your life to what plans that you want to prepare for this year. And let's worship that in. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.